the last part of verse 6 where it says, and it is the Spirit who bears witness because the Spirit is true. We know that we can't see a spirit, right? So, how does the Spirit bear witness of this?
Can anyone think of verses that might help?
Well, I don't know where it's written, but it's the wind. We do not know where the wind comes from, but we do feel it.
John,
I can't translate it in English.
Yeah. John 3.
Exactly, thank you.
So let's use that. Let's make sure we can connect that, yeah. John chapter 3. How does that, what was your thought and how that answers the question?
Verse 8. The wind blows where it will, and thou hearest its voice, but knowest not whence it comes and where it goes. Thus is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Well, I think the scripture is clear in it. I was thinking about this midday also, already this verse, and I thought about it, and it's maybe also good for us to realize that the voice of the Lord, I know it's maybe not exactly the application from the Spirit, but the voice of the Lord, His will, can be heard not during thunder, but in stillness. How do you call it?
Still small voice.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's a real help. It has been a real help for me when I went through difficult times. It was not only that I found help in the Word of God, but that I waited just 1 or 2 days till the thunder and the storms and the difficult periods fade away, and then in the smallness the Lord can make clear what He wants that you can do.
Can I ask you a question, Andre? You made the very important observation that the Holy Spirit, you cannot see a spirit. So what does another person talk to? Or let me back up even. I'll just try to ask a few questions to lead us somewhere. Who understands another polar bear? One polar bear is understood by what? Another polar bear. Okay. So one person is understood by another person. How would a spirit communicate with
another spirit?
Another spirit. Right? So how would the Holy Spirit then bear witness? With whom? With what, could I say, but with whom, really? To whom, to what part of us is the Spirit bearing witness? To our spirits, right? So, Romans chapter 8, Romans 8, verse 16, in a different context, but I think it touches on what you've said. Romans 8, verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. In that case, that we are children of God. But it's, how does the Spirit bear witness? I think it's witness in ourselves. We had the phrase yesterday, confidence before God, and I think that is part of what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. The Spirit of God teaches us in our spirits. We understand things spiritually. We read other verses yesterday, like in 1 Corinthians 2, that touch on that too. Maybe others have additional points.
Yeah, in John chapter 16, the Lord Jesus said, and John 16:13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. And so on. I think that the Spirit of God is working today to really magnify the Lord Jesus. As we pick up the scriptures, it is the Spirit of God who takes the things of Christ and makes them real to us. We couldn't do it by ourselves. I believe He is working through the scriptures to magnify Christ.
One more verse in John 14, when the promise of the Spirit is given, the Lord says, I will pray the Father, verse 16, John 14:16, and will send you another Comforter, that He may abide with you, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwells with you and shall be in you. Mm-hmm. The great truth of Christianity is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And so, how does he witness? How does he make that known to us? It's through his indwelling and his revealing to us the deep things of God and the things concerning Christ.
And I would just add one more verse. It's in John 15, verse 26. Because then we see, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Mm-hmm. And then here, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And that's to the disciples there, but now, and we've also seen it, how it applies to us, that the witness of the Spirit, when the Spirit takes the things of Christ, as Brother Sam read, makes them precious, he not only cries within our spirit, as Steve read,
Frank.
And then he also helps us to be a witness in this scene for him.
One question. What does it mean that the Lord Jesus Christ came by water? And what does it mean that the water is a witness?
Too bad we're running out of time.
That's been a question for many generations of Christians already. Yeah. I know, Mark, you tried to touch on that briefly. Maybe you should say a little more what you're thinking.
Would we connect just, and this doesn't answer the question entirely, but with John 19 as well with the Spirit giving witness that the Apostle John, through the Holy Spirit, writes in verse 34, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bore record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that you might believe. And it's only because the Apostle John had the Spirit of God when he wrote this, and he could say the record is true. The Spirit of God witnessed through the Scripture. But here's the blood and the water as well. The complete cleansing.
I go on this turn the table. this is the way I've tried to understand this passage. This is he that came by water and blood. And the passage in John 19 where the blood and water are separated at the Lord's crucifixion was an indication of death. What it indicates is that he was truly a human being. What we have here, where he then makes the qualification and says, not by water only, I think this has reference to the notion that men were attributing to the Lord Jesus Christ some mystical appearance that made him distinct from not being human. And that was associated with water being a mystical thing that even today, in some philosophies, that is the cradle where life comes from, that the whole naturalistic philosophy. And John is very careful to identify the Lord Jesus Christ as not some mystical deity or mystical appearance. He says, no, he is of water and blood, which indicates his true humanity, and it was manifested in his crucifixion when in his death, that's what was poured out.